U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at AlibabaPowersBusinesses.com.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg indicts former President Donald Trump, shaking the political landscape and the 2024 presidential campaign. Welcome, I'm Kyle Peterson with the Wall Street Journal. We are joined today by my colleagues, columnist Kim Strassel and editorial board member Mene Ukwe-Barua. Late Thursday, the news broke that a New York grand jury had voted to indict the former president and current 2024 candidate. These are the first charges against a former U.S. president in American history. And let's start with a bit of the political reaction that is now bubbling in. Here is Mike Pence responding on CNN last night.
I think the unprecedented indictment of a former president of the United States on a campaign finance issue is an outrage. And it appears to millions of Americans to be nothing more than a political prosecution that's driven by a prosecutor who literally ran for office on a pledge to indict the former president.
If Trump is convicted of these crimes that he's being charged with today, should that disqualify him from being the Republican presidential nominee, or should he drop out?
If it's a long way to that decision. I promise to answer that question if that approaches. It's a possibility that a judge would even throw this case out before it would even go to trial. So I don't want to talk about hypotheticals.
There's a lot that we still don't know. There's some news now today that the indictment involves 30 charges, but we still don't have the indictment itself. It reportedly relates to the payoff of Stormy Daniels' hush money in 2016, shortly before the election. But Kim, it seems like we are still waiting for Trump to go get booked and then finally to get that indictment and get a better sense of the kind of evidence that Alvin Bragg has gathered.
Yeah, by the way, this was also kind of, just as an aside, unexpected. A lot of the reporting had suggested that the grand jury was actually going to go out for the month of April. Apparently, even Trump's team thought that there was no indictment looming. And then suddenly we get this news yesterday. So all we know is that he's being indicted. As you said, some reports have said 30 charges. Unless he has some other evidence that no one has heard of, it does seem to be related to these hush money payments and therefore related to an idea of a campaign finance charge, and that the basic charge would be falsification of records. But to bump it up to a felony, you have to prove that it was in aid of covering up a crime or in aid of a crime. And it would seem that Alvin Bragg is reaching for a supposed violation of federal campaign finance laws. It would also appear that those 30 charges, at least according to the reporting, the number might be that high because it's possible that the prosecutors are filing an individual charge for every payment that was made to Stormy Daniels. That seems to be a reasonable reading of that high number. We won't find out anything more unless there is a leak until at least Tuesday, when most people are suggesting that Donald Trump is now going to appear in court, at which point it would be possible for that indictment to be unsealed. We're left guessing a little bit about the merits. I think what we're not left guessing about is that this is unprecedented. This seems to be a case, amazingly, not based on some serious charge with overwhelming proof, not a case in which this is going to easily convince the vast majority of the public, but rather a real legal stretch. And you have to wonder about the political fallout and the precedent that sets going forward.
And I think analysts on all sides of the political spectrum, on the left, on the right, and the center, as far as I can tell, have said that this appears to be the weakest case that is being built against President Trump. Remember, there's one in Georgia around his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election there. There's a federal special counsel investigating his handling of classified files at Mar-a-Lago. But for the reasons that Kim explains, I mean, again, we don't have the evidence. We don't have the indictment in front of us. A lot of analysts have suggested that this would not be the case to pick. And some of that is legal, the way that Kim explains. You need to be covering up another crime in order to make this misdemeanor into a felony. Some of it is also just the framing. I mean, this is a 7-year-old hush money payment. This is something that federal prosecutors looked into and apparently passed on charging President Trump. And Manet, I think a lot of people will say President Trump is a billionaire. And we are talking about a payment to Stormy Daniels of $130,000. And in the grand scheme of his business organization and its accounting and his tax records, this is really not an enormous deal. This is not some sort of scheme that Alvin Bragg has uncovered to save President Trump, you know, millions of dollars on his taxes or anything close to that.
Yeah, that's all absolutely true. And I think that's what the vast majority of neutral observers would think looking at the details of this case. They'd scratch their heads and think, why is this the sort of thing that should be charged for even an ordinary person, not to talk of a former president and current presidential candidate? Obviously, people who have been critics of Trump for a long time and who believe that he has managed to escape from a variety of explicit crimes and or corrupt dealings certainly think that they want to see him strung up for any old thing. And that probably was Bragg's rationale here, that perhaps I had to get a little inventive with my legal theory to make this particular charge stick. But everybody knows that this is a corrupt man who deserves to have the book thrown at him. It'll be interesting when we finally hear from Bragg. What I expect he'll say is that no American is above the law, even a former president and a presidential candidate. If you look at the facts of how this payment was recorded and the purpose for which it was probably done, which he alleges was to defend the Trump campaign from the reputational damage of Trump's affair coming out, he'll say that was explicitly a crime and I'm not going to let the stature of the perpetrator dissuade me from bringing a charge. But of course, prosecution is always done in context, and prosecutors like Alvin Bragg do have a lot of discretion over whether they bring these sorts of charges. And the history of the United States has suggested that they tend to defer when they know that they're going to open up a whole box of troubles and a political firestorm by proceeding.
But if that's the case, I mean, Alvin Bragg can read the tea leaves as well as the rest of us. And so, Kim, when the news came that the grand jury was going to be taking a hiatus for some weeks, I thought that maybe Bragg had been convinced by the real outpouring, not only from the Journal, from writers at the Washington Post, that this was not going to be the case. And so why do you suppose he would move forward anyway? I guess one theory would be that he has some irrefutable evidence that is going to be in this indictment or that he can bring to trial that we don't know about, we're not privy to right now. Another theory would be that he had just decided that this is what he was going to do. He was going to charge President Trump.
I think there's a couple of reasons that you can guess that, both locally and also nationally. Locally, let's not forget that this is the Manhattan District Attorney. Manhattan routinely votes 85% for Democrats in presidential elections. I mean, this is a hugely Democratic area. And he could well think that this is his audience. And these are the people that he's going back to for re-election. And Democrats want to see Donald Trump in handcuffs. And so it could have been entirely for his own personal political benefit. There's also the national possibility. Look, we've talked about this a lot, in that Democrats in general want to see Donald Trump front and center. They want to keep him in the news because they believe that if he were to become the 2024 nominee, that they have a good shot of beating him. They have already done it. Joe Biden did. And, you know, this has worked for them in the past three elections, 2018, 2020, most recently last fall. Donald Trump being out there allowed Democrats to make him into a boogeyman, to suggest that the candidates he had endorsed or when he was himself on the ballot, that you were going to get more Trumpian antics and the candidates got tied to Trump, and this really hurt Republicans. And they want to have that happening again. They don't necessarily want Republican voters to be listening to DeSantis or Pence or other players talking about the problems with the Biden economy. They'd rather be talking about Donald Trump and his threats to the country, supposedly. So I think that's why he moved ahead. I think it's a terrible decision nonetheless, with horrible potential precedents. I can very easily see Republican prosecutor, just as local as Alvin Bragg, seeing some upside to going after Democrats also on weak charges, just to get his name in the paper. And we have tried to stay away from political prosecutions, and this opens the floodgates.
But if the goal for Bragg is to elevate President Trump going into these 2024 Republican primaries, Manet, it strikes me as a risky proposition and one with potential to backfire. We have a lot of running room here before voters are going to the polls in 2024. And so one possibility would be that a judge throws this case out on some sort of technicality or some sort of legal ruling. Another would be that it goes to trial and you have just one juror in the jury pool who is not convinced of President Trump's intent here beyond reasonable doubt. And if that's the case, Manet, it seems like this would bolster President Trump in those 2024 nominations. And so, I don't know, is that the calculation? Help him get the nomination and then beat him at the polls in November with Joe Biden?
It's an interesting question. I think that Bragg, as anyone, probably has thought about what the political consequences of moving forward with the charge against Trump would be, and probably does understand that there's a good chance that this might boost Trump's visibility and help him earn his way to the Republican nomination for 2024. And Bragg probably doesn't see that as too much of a problem. And as Kim was pointing out, Democrats miss having Trump as a punching bag and as an opponent. Joe Biden beat him in 2020 and probably would be happy to have Trump as his opponent again, as opposed to Ron DeSantis or someone who probably has a little bit more crossover appeal. And so I don't think that that is something that would dissuade Bragg from moving ahead when he was gaming out the scenarios. As to your points about how it might play out, I think that both scenarios really do boost Trump's chances of winning the nomination. And by both scenarios, I'm referring to being charged and even potentially having a trial that drags on for a long time or being quickly exonerated or having the charges dropped. I think in either case, Trump will be in the news and on everyone's lips. All of his potential rivals will be forced to comment on his goings on. Most Republicans believe, I think correctly, that the charges are politically motivated, and so it's not going to diminish him in their eyes to see him going through this process. And particularly if he ends up being cleared, he'll be able to claim victory again the way that he did after the impeachment efforts that Democrats tried while he was in office, and say, they've made a target out of me, but I've continued to fight on your behalf, and I'm going to return to the White House gloriously.
But the other possibility is that Trump might be convicted of this, and then Alvin Bragg might be sidelining him, Kim. I mean, there's no law against running for president from a jail cell, but I can only imagine that that would make campaigning a little bit difficult. And maybe part of what is the other factor that is hard to calculate here is what happens in these other two cases. One person who I would bet is pretty furious about what happened Thursday, this indictment, is the district attorney in Atlanta, Fani Willis, who is investigating the effort to overturn the 2020 presidential result in that state, because the analysts seem to think that that might be a stronger case. And if President Trump beats Alvin Bragg in court, beats him in front of the judge, I can only imagine that that will affect how the public perceives any of these other cases that happen, if they do, after this point.
And that includes the Department of Justice special counsel, who is looking into Trump's handling of classified documents and also supposedly his role in the entire January 6th riot. So I agree with you, Kyle. And you have to wonder if one of the reasons that Alvin Bragg was really pushing to get this was because there was kind of a sort of I want to go first element of this. But you're right. If this case ends up going nowhere, or in fact, there's a huge possibility that the judge may dismiss it, that there ends up being a hung jury. But if this doesn't get a conviction in the end, it's a black eye for Alvin Bragg. And yes, it's going to color the question of whether or not these other prosecutors go forward, because it could be that they start from the position that people are already wary of these prosecutions and are beginning to wonder why they're being brought. It might undermine their credibility. We just don't know. But I think it's an interesting question, though, too, is the accumulation question. What happens if, you know, Trump ends up facing these charges, but then the attorney in Georgia ends up coming out soon after with their own, or the special counsel and DOJ piles on. Maybe you end up with the former president facing an array of cases and court appearances. I think that also changes the potential dynamic out there and how voters are seeing him in the primary, and maybe how his opponents are treating this situation as well, too.
Hang tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Potomac Watch from The Wall Street Journal.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at AlibabaPowersBusinesses.com.
Don't forget, you can reach the latest episode of Potomac Watch anytime. Just ask your smart speaker, play the Opinion Potomac Watch podcast.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Let's have a little bit more of the political reaction to the Trump indictment. Here's a tweet from Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The grand jury has acted upon the facts and the law. No one is above the law, and everyone has the right to a trial to prove innocence. Hopefully, the former president will peacefully respect the system which grants him that right. And interestingly, there is some context that is appended to this tweet by Nancy Pelosi. It says, Ms. Pelosi mistakenly says that Trump can prove his innocence at trial. Law in the U.S. assumes the innocence of a defendant, and the prosecution must prove guilt for a conviction. Also, a tweet here from Governor Ron DeSantis. The weaponization of the legal system to advance a political agenda turns the rule of law on its head. It is un-American. He also says, Florida will not assist in an extradition request, given the questionable circumstances at issue. And Manet, I mean, that's sort of a moot point. My understanding is that a governor does not have the right to turn down an extradition request from another state under the law. But also, we expect that President Trump will come to the courthouse himself next week. But what do you make of this response by Ron DeSantis? And does the indictment put other potential candidates in 2024 who want the Republican nomination in a bind? Because they have to say that they're a better candidate than Donald Trump, while also opposing this prosecution that most Republican voters think is pretty politicized.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that all candidates and prospective candidates on the Republican side are in discussion with their communications teams and figuring out exactly what their response is going to be when they're inevitably asked day after day about the charges being brought and what they think is going to happen and the case against Donald Trump generally. I think that Ron DeSantis made a lot of sense when he condemned the charges as being politically motivated. That should be obvious to anyone looking at the facts of the case, that this is clearly something that is aimed at destroying Trump's reputation and charges that probably would not have been brought against other figures. But I think DeSantis also wants to say that he isn't going to become involved in any way. When you mention him saying that he was declining to cooperate with the extradition, I presume he does mean he'll still grant access to anyone who is involved with sort of moving Trump from Florida to New York and will abide by the usual protocols, but he just isn't going to add any additional help. And he basically is telling his supporters that this is not something that I'm aiding and abetting. But I do think that as the news cycle heats up, these candidates are going to have to be very, very deft about, again, condemning the charges, but also trying to sidestep the question and return the conversation to issues that give them more of a chance to shine and to draw a contrast between themselves and President Trump.
Kim, what's your view of this question? How should other Republican candidates respond? I haven't seen a whole lot of statements. Obviously, we played the Pence clip at the top. We have one from Ron DeSantis. But anybody who is either in the 2024 Republican race or thinking about getting in, I would bet is hurriedly meeting with their press handlers and trying to figure out the most expeditious way to respond to this.
Yeah, they pretty much have all come out and uniformly condemned this. I saw Nikki Haley said this was about revenge, not justice. Even Asa Hutchinson, who it may get into the race and run a little bit more as a moderate. While he urged patience to let the legal process work through, he also said that the decision about Trump and whether or not he should be in office ought to be something that's made by the people, not necessarily by prosecutors. So everyone has been pretty uniform about this. I think that that's the right thing for them to do politically, not only because it's probably a genuine statement on their part in that most Republicans are looking at this as a political prosecution. But I also think that, you know, let's just be blunt. They can't necessarily afford to just write off those who support Donald Trump. Like, they're in the running for those voters as well, too. And to turn on him and suggest, oh, yes, he deserved to be handcuffed, so is going to alienate some of your base. I think going forward, one thing that you may end up seeing people do is sort of a version of what Ron DeSantis did back when he was first asked about the potential for these indictments, where he kind of also, he took a little bit of a slap and said he wouldn't know much about this because he's not in the business of paying adult pornography stars. So it was a little bit of a slap at Trump. I think there's a more subtle way to do this in which the candidates condemn this, but also remind voters that this is one of the problems with Donald Trump as a nominee is simply that his enemies are never going to stop engaging in this behavior. They're constantly going to be going after him and will continue to do so if he becomes president again. And that there's a sense of drama, therefore, and retribution that follows him everywhere, which is going to derail the ability of Donald Trump as president again to get through an agenda. And this is certainly what we saw during the Russian collusion nonsense, but that really was a cloud that hung over the Trump presidency and got in the way of a lot of other stuff. So they could certainly do that. But I agree with Manet. The most important thing they should be doing is trying to push back what Democrats and the media are doing, which is just to keep Trump in the news. They need to keep the focus on the Biden agenda, the Biden failings, especially because these are the things that most Americans are most focused on. They want to hear a debate from the Republican candidates about how they're going to handle inflation, what they're going to do in terms of national security. How are they going to make it so that it's not so costly when people go to fill up a tank of gas? What are they going to do on energy production? And to contrast their ideas with the fails that are coming out of this administration, that's probably going to get them a lot more mileage than meditating on the Trump drama.
It'll be interesting to see whether there are other 2024 candidates who take this approach that Kim describes of reminding people that you don't have to defend on the substance, paying off an alleged mistress and then apparently failing to account for it properly. But remind people, Manet, that this is the first indictment of a former U.S. president in history. And not that there haven't been other possibilities where that could happen. Bill Clinton maybe could have been criminally charged with perjury. Nixon was pardoned by President Ford. And I think generally, historians have lauded Ford for that move, taking the personal and the popularity hit for that in a way that was ultimately good for the country and got the country past Watergate instead of spending the next 5 years still embroiled in it.
Absolutely. And I believe President Biden was asked about the charges this morning and declined to comment in any way. One presumes that he, like Nancy Pelosi and a lot of other Democrats, is quite pleased to see Trump being subjected to these charges and thinks that it's something that's going to embroil the Republican Party and cause a big media circus. But certainly President Biden, though he may believe privately that president or an ex-president shouldn't be charged for something like this, is not going to want to come out and say that and suggest that Trump is being treated unfairly in any way. On the Republican side, yes, both the party base and also the elected leaders are in firm and I believe correct agreement that these charges are inappropriate and that President Trump should not be being subjected to this particular charge. But I do think, again, the candidates should not spend too much of their time and energy making that point because it is so commonly held within their party and because their success and the success of the party potentially in 2024 is going to depend on them talking about other issues and trying to make a case for how they're going to actually improve Americans' lives through policy as opposed to the personal travails of President Trump.
Thank you, Manet and Kim. Thank you all for listening. You can email us at pwpodcast@wsj.com. If you like the show, please hit that subscribe button, and we'll be back next week with another edition of Potomac Watch.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at alibabapowersbusinesses.com.